And as they read and as they pray, they've got to come under conviction. They've got to come under conviction by the Holy Spirit. And hey, they see something, God illuminates a scripture, and there's something in their life that He's not pleased with. But they choose not to do anything about it. What Paul wrote there, grace teaches us, the Christians, to deny ungodliness. Well, I mentioned the television. How many here have television? Good. The best thing on it is the off switch. Now that I've said that, the scripture also tells us to set no wicked thing before our eyes. Now, TV is not wicked. It's a man-made object. But what comes across it might be another story. Or the computer screen. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. Teaches us to deny worldly lust, to live soberly, to live righteously, to live godly, to live right in this life, to look for His coming at any moment. That's what grace teaches us. Thank you, Jesus. We're on the right track. Amen? You could be presented this morning or any Sunday morning, Wednesday evening, with one gospel or another gospel. You could be presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you could be presented with a man's gospel that they call the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a watered-down, consumer-oriented, flavorful package that will tickle the listener's ears and lead them right to hell. You don't get that here, and you never will. I, Pastor Jackie, and anybody else that takes this pulpit are concerned, but not overly concerned, with what the world might think of us, what other Christians might think of us, because I'm not here to please them. And I am not here to please you. I, or whoever takes this pulpit, is here to please the Master, because He's the one that we are going to appear before. He is the one, I've mentioned this before, and I'll begin, that you will give an account for your life, I will give an account for my life. However, because of the position, I will also give an account for you. That's the scripture. So I will give an account for every word that I give in preaching or teaching. Any counseling that I give, I will give an answer for. Anything that God tells me to do and I don't do, I will give an account for. So, as the old saying goes, if the shoe fits, wear it. So, I am not a man pleaser, and nobody else is that will take this pulpit. So, you could have one of two gospels. You could have the gospel, because you see, Christianity is the hardest thing in the world to do. You know why? Because you can't do it. And neither can I. I have to submit, and you have to submit to the working of the Holy Spirit. And allow God to work things out. Allow God to continually sanctify us day by day and change us moment by moment, if necessary, into things that He shows us that are wrong. Now, when you're chastened, anybody here ever been chastened by the Lord? Oh, I'll see a couple people later. Because the scripture says everybody's chastened of the Lord. Everybody's chastened of the Lord. Well, we have to understand that's God's love and His grace. That's His love and His grace. Because He wants us to be right with Him in every aspect. Doesn't mean that we've sinned grossly before Him. See, sin was taken care of at the cross. That was His grace. Amen? It was nailed to His cross. We are righteous in His sight. When God looks at us, He sees Jesus. Different way of phrasing it. We say, you know, see Jesus. He does. When He looks at us and we go into the throne room, He sees Christ. He sees us through the righteousness of Jesus. He counts us righteous, even though we just made a big boo-boo. He counts us righteous. We have free access to Him at any moment. His grace. Old Testament, they had to wait a while. And only one person could go in the Holy of Holies. Psalm 84:11 reads, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Oh, Thank you. That's a king's kid. Amen. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So if I am walking with Jesus, amen. Now, it doesn't mean that you or I are perfect. Scripture says that if we have fellowship with him, then we're in our right place. Praise the Lord. 1 John, not worded quite that way. But God sees us as righteous. And he will allow all grace. He won't withhold anything from us, as long as it's in his will. So we have that grace given to us, and we need to appropriate it. Some of us, I think, are a little bit timid at times of asking God for something big. What is easier, to ask God for a tube of toothpaste or $1 million? Yes, toothpaste. For some people, that's a little thing. But it might be a hard thing to ask God for, because it is so small. And some people won't ask for the $1 million because it's, that's huge, like God doesn't have that much. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the oil, the gold, the silver, the platinum. Amen? Everything else that's in the hill. Everything that's under the hill. The earth is the Lord and the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to him. And you and I are joint heir of that. Amen? So we need to appropriate God's grace in our life and really get a hold of what he has for his people. Because we haven't begun to touch into what God has for us. We really haven't. I believe God wants to take the money the sinner has and give it to his people. But then he expects us to use it for his kingdom. Amen. He expects us to use it for his kingdom. I was just recently reading in one of my magazines of an individual preacher of the gospel as God led him. Initially got saved and he knew that they had to give, or God required a minimum of 10% of a tithe. So he was obedient. Even when he felt he didn't have it, he was obedient. And he gave it to the Lord. He now gives 90% and lives on the 10%. And God just keeps abundantly blessing him more and more and more. But that's the kingdom principle. Give and it shall be given unto you. Amen? He has certainly learned that principle. He lives on 10%. But God just keeps pouring it in. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. Back to Romans. Romans, the 3rd chapter. Beginning at the 21st verse. But now the righteousness of God has been revealed independently and altogether apart from law, although actually it is attested by the law and the prophets. Namely, the righteousness of God which comes by believing with personal trust and confident reliance on Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and it is meant for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and are falling short of the honor and glory which God bestows and receives. All are justified and made upright and in right standing with God, freely and gratuitously by his grace, his unmerited favor and mercy, through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? His grace, freely bestowed upon anyone and everyone who will believe, is there. It picks us up from the depth of depravity, sin that we were into, and puts us in right standing with God Almighty. Don't let the devil come along and sow a seed of doubt, of unbelief, into your ear, which could get down into your heart, that things aren't quite right, so therefore you can't have all that God has for you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Each and every one of us can have all that God has for us as we press into him and seek him out. 2 Corinthians 6:1 reads, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Understand what the grace of God is. It's his unmerited favor towards us. Initially at the cross when we accept Christ, but that unmerited favor continues on. That when you have a need or I have a need, even a want, that we go to God and we petition him, amen, and ask him for what we have need of, his grace is there. In the difficult trials that many are going through, I do find Did he not? Sometimes he does. He instantly delivers us from the trial. But I find more and more the Christian going through the trial, learning the grace of God in it. Because there are those things that come upon us in various ways that we don't think we can hang on. Amen? But God says His grace is sufficient. He also says if it's a temptation, He will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. Amen? The Scripture says that every man, woman, child, boy, girl, whatever it is drawn away and enticed when we're drawn away by our own lust. Sometimes the way of escape is shut the TV off. Oh God, I need your grace. Get me out of watching this. Dummy, shut it off. Sometimes that's the way of escape, the on-off switch. Amen? Other times God will do whatever He has to do if it's a situation other than that, of course. But sometimes we have to take the first step. Sometimes you and I can innocently walk into a situation that develops and it's not where a Christian should be. Well, then you simply, excuse me. I can't be here any longer. That can be difficult, amen? How many have lost friends because of Jesus? Amen. Okay, well, so be it. God will give you more friends. Amen. But who are you going to offend? This person or Jesus Christ? That's what it comes down to. I had somebody yesterday mention to me, a person wanted to give him a bottle of booze as for whatever. And he said, well, yeah, okay, get me this, that, and the other thing. And then he turned to me and he says, I don't drink, but I didn't want to tell him that. I have no problem telling people I don't drink alcohol. Well, why not? Why? Because I used to be an alcoholic, that's why. Besides, God has regenerated me. And I know there's customs in the world where, yes, you have a glass of wine and so forth. And if that's a custom, until God enlightens the person, that's fine. But if they want to really get into it, I'll just tell them, okay, go ahead, drink your booze. Every drink you take kills brain cells, and brain cells don't regenerate. And for those that profess Christianity, really get enlightened. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? He that defiles the temple of the Holy Ghost, God will destroy. Ouch. Destroying brain cells. God did that with me when I smoked. Now, another grace of God. Not only to deliver me, but what does it cost? $350, $360 a pack today? The money God is saving me. Amen? When He set me free, it was 35 cents a pack, and I smoked 3 packs a day. $1.05. Boy, I'd probably be out stealing them today if I was unsafe. I'll be doing like some people do up here. They take them down to the city by the van load. God's grace is sufficient. He'll make all grace abound towards us. Amen? He says to come boldly into the throne of grace. Amen? To boldly go into the throne of grace where we can obtain mercy. Amen? Whatever else we have need of. Too many Christians don't bother going there except on Sunday morning. We need to go there often and more often. Almost done. 1 Corinthians. I'll take another aspect of grace. I just touched on it now with the drinking. Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's often infirmities. Some Christians take that as a reason that they believe they can go ahead and drink to excess. Well, we need to look at all the scriptures. And first of all, the wine that Timothy would have drank isn't like what you buy today. The alcoholic content in that wine was very, very little. And it was for a medicinal purpose. Aside from that, since I mentioned about alcohol, another aspect of grace is that we all need grace and more grace for each other. Hey, that's quiet. But we do. We all need grace and more grace for each other. You see, we're all on the same straight and narrow, amen? If you're not on the straight and narrow, you're doomed. Straight and narrow path. But we're all different people. We've all been saved at different times. There are things that I can do that you can't do, and there are things that you can do that I can't do. And therefore, we need grace one for another. Now, I mentioned alcohol for one thing. There are some people, and in some cultures, it is a custom that at every meal they have a glass of wine. I need grace for that brother or sister until God enlightens them as to what's what. Amen? And on the other hand, there are some churches, and I've been in one in particular, and the presence of God was mightily manifested there, where the men sat on one side of the church and the women sat on the other side of the church. And all the women had to have the same type veil. Well, the scripture says not to let anybody judge you with what you're going to wear. Amen? So the custom that they had was an Italian-American church in Boston. The presence of God was powerful. God moved in the Spirit. He moved in the gifts. That was their custom. I walked in, and a couple others of us, and, we didn't fit the mold. But they had grace. They had grace. And we had grace to them, too. You go some places overseas, and I'll tell you one thing. Anybody here called to be a missionary other than Sister Ada? If you're called to go to Indonesia, you will eat monkey eyeballs. And everybody will know if you're called to be a missionary or not. But that is their custom. That is their custom. And if you didn't sit down and eat a monkey eyeball with them, you would never be able to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. So there are things where we have to have grace. And boy, that would really take God's grace in my life. Amen? Amen. I'm not called to go to Indonesia. Philippines, yes. Indonesia, no. Not at this time, anyway. You got to be careful what you say. That which I have feared has come upon me. God's grace will be sufficient. God's grace will be sufficient. But you know, we also have our things. That because perhaps we're a little bit more knowledgeable than somebody else, and you get there in a minute, that we might, not intending to, but look down on someone else. Because they haven't grown to, perhaps, our expectations. Or we see something in their life that shouldn't be. We need to give them grace. Let God deal with them. You realize that if I went up to some people in here, or perhaps you see something in my life where God is still dealing, quiet, Teresa, and, went to me, or I went to you, and, you could blow that Christian away. You can blow that Christian away. Or the person that hasn't even accepted Christ. Talking to someone, a Christian brother, earlier in the week. He told me that this person he has to deal with said that if this person is any example of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ is, I want nothing to do with Christianity. That's tough words. Tough words. We need to grow in grace and so forth. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the first verse. Now about food offered to idols. Of course we know that all of us possess knowledge concerning these matters. Yet mere knowledge causes people to be puffed up, to bear themselves loftily and be proud. But love, that is, affection and goodwill and benevolence, edifies and builds up and encourages one to grow to his full stature. That's where grace comes in. We need grace, which is love in a sense, one to another. The Corinthians were puffed up by their knowledge and liberty in Christ. We've got knowledge, we've got liberty. Amen? But they went and condemned others. It made them bold, rash, and careless regarding the consciences of others not enlightened. In other words, they were bold and rash. They had all this knowledge of Jesus Christ. They realized they were free, had the liberty in Christ. And some, perhaps, new convert would come in, accepts Christ, and walks in. And, you know, how many know when a sinner walks in the door? I mean, an out-and-out sinner. You can tell. Amen? You can tell. Right? Person comes up to the altar, gets saved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Grace has been bestowed. Come here, brother. I want to tell you what you got to do. Don't smoke. Don't eat. Don't cuss. Don't drink. Don't associate with your old friends. Make sure you wear a white shirt next Sunday. Wrong approach. Amen. Amen. You love the brother or the sister. Amen. You know, you and I, we can't tell them, don't do this and don't do that. We'll turn them right off. They have just accepted Christ. Or perhaps they accepted Christ 6 months ago. God leads them in here. You know, they come in with woman, miniskirt. What are we going to do? Teach by example. Amen. Going to love her. I will say, if she sits in the front pew, out will come one of these. Yes, sir. Give no occasion to the devil. Amen. I had a girl. I shared this with some people before. I had a girl in the church at Hope College, in with a micro mini skirt, and sat right in the first pew. I walked over to her. We had a little conversation, and she looked at me and she says, "Well, if you weren't full of lust," words to this effect, "then you wouldn't have a problem." I said, "Well, okay, but you are a partaker of my sin then, if that's the case." I didn't wear one after that. Because if you're saying I'm full of lust, it's your attire that's drawing me into it. And I'll cover your legs every time. Corinthians were puffed up by their knowledge, liberty in Christ, and condemned others. It made them bold, rash, and careless regarding the consciences of others, not enlightened. Well, there's other things. Clothing. Braided hair. Jewelry. Now, the list goes on and on and on and on. There are those churches and those Christians that don't believe you should wear jewelry because of a scripture in Corinthians, I believe it is. Well, if that's your belief, fine. Don't wear jewelry. But don't tell my wife not to wear it. Don't tell Sister Kathy not to wear it. And if you want to wear a white shirt every Sunday, hey, be my guest. And I'll pick on you when you wear a blue one. We're not to judge one another in those things. We're free. We're at liberty. Scripture says that the devil will come in, and people will come in to spy out our liberty, so they might find a way to bring us into bondage. Talking about clothing, I shared this, I think, a couple weeks ago. It might have been on a Wednesday night. In Bible college, the holiness college, but it tended to be at times legalistic. And I remember Sister Daly teaching a class, and she's talking, and she got into holiness and so forth. And she came out basically with a statement that it wasn't right for a woman to wear slacks. So I thought about that for a moment. And, you know, it piqued my curiosity and stuff. And so I teach. I was a rabble rouser. So I raised my hand. I said, what do they do in Antarctica or Alaska? Now, you think about that. If they're propagating that a woman wears a skirt all the time or a dress, what are they going to do in Antarctica? Iceland, Greenland, Alaska. You better wear slacks. You better wear warm woolies, too. Male and female. It's cold up there. It's cold up there. It's cold here sometimes. Amen? Love builds up. It has no quality to puff up or tear down as knowledge does. It can only be constructive since it is of God. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Love builds up. It doesn't tear down. Amen? And for our visitor, I don't want you to think, boy, this church got some real problems here. I'm just ministering what God gives me. Two last scriptures, both in the book Colossians, depending upon what side of the earth you're from. Colossians, the second chapter, page 2908, beginning at the 13th verse. And you, who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note or bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. This note, with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to his cross. God disarmed the principalities and powers ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. Therefore, let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food and drink, or with regard to a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath. Such things are only the shadow of things that are to come, and they have only a symbolic value. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it, belongs to Christ. Let nobody judge us in food, drink, what we're going to wear, and so forth. Holy day, Sabbath day, moon day, and all them other things. I knew of a sister, she's gone on to be with the Lord now, that didn't believe in celebrating a birthday. Oh my! Isn't this horrible? How many like birthdays? How many like birthday cakes? How many like to get a gift? Yes, both hands, amen? But this particular sister didn't believe in that. Hey, that's fine. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with celebrating a birthday, and there's nothing wrong with not celebrating a birthday. Jack Benny's 39 forever. And some of you women are too. Colossians, last chapter, the third chapter, our third chapter in Colossians. Last scripture. Clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own picked representatives, his own chosen ones, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless, long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle and forbearing with one another, and if one has a difference, a grievance or complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. And above all these, put on love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. Praise the Lord. Amen? That's where we have differences. That's not talking about sin and sin issues. It's talking about differences. The way we dress, the way we eat, the way we talk, and so forth. We've got to have grace one for another. And you know what? We need grace for those that are in other churches that are saved that don't believe exactly as we do. Amen. If they have Christ in their heart and in their life, they're just as saved as you are or as I am. Just because they don't speak in tongues doesn't make you or I any better than them. And because they don't doesn't make them any better than you or I. I think they're missing a whole bunch. Amen. And if I get to share something with them, praise the Lord. But if they love Jesus Christ and they have been bought with his precious blood, they are our brothers and our sisters. Amen. Can we stand? Now, thank you for your time. It's been a little bit lengthy. Remember fellowship if you can stay. Have a wonderful holiday. Keep looking up. Amen. Because he's coming at any moment. Amen. Sister Kathy, would you dismiss us today?